Welcome to WP Coffee Talk. Thank you to our sponsor, Helix Managed WordPress Hosting, for both their sponsorship and hosting our site, WPCoffeeTalk.com. Now on to our episode. Welcome to WP Coffee Talk, where I get to talk to amazing WordPressers and WordPress community members all over the globe. And I have to admit, James, I don't even know where I'm talking to you from. I know where I am, but where are you today?
I am in sunny Cleveland, Tennessee, where it is very, very hot. Hot and humid.
Now, I understand with smartwatches and everything to look at your watch to tell what the temperature is, but I don't have one of those, so I'm like, I thought you were going to say like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and you're like, yeah.
I always have to apologize to people too, because like I get certain notifications that are very important, and it's good peace of mind for me to be able to just kind of see it, saw it, dismiss it. But when you're talking to somebody face to face and every few minutes or every even 10, 15 minutes, you go like this, they're like, are you in a hurry? Do you have another appointment? I'm like, no, really.
Am I that boring?
Exactly. And so I always feel bad about that. And I'm getting better about it, being conscious of what it looks like to actually lift up your wrist. That, again, people don't think you're looking at the temperature or a quick notification. They think you want to get out of here.
Exactly. Technology has changed the way we do almost everything.
It's true. It's true.
It is really true. And so I'm excited to talk to you today. We may have crossed paths at a WordCamp here or there, or WordCamp US, but I really think this is the first time that you and I have actually really met. That's true. I will tell you, you can't see it because it's on the laptop I'm talking to you through, but I have a Ninja Forms and Caldera Forms stickers on this laptop. So.
Well, I love it.
It's awesome. I love your products. You guys are doing a really good job. So anyway, let me introduce James Law. How are you today?
I'm doing wonderful. Like I said, it's a little warm and humid over here, but other than that, good spirits.
Good spirits is always good. And it's air conditioned indoors, I hope.
It is. Although we're just getting this space is just getting set up. And so the studio is set up, but the rest of the space isn't. And so getting air up here to the studio is not as efficient as I would like it to be.
So I see you're dressed in layers. Is this going to turn into every like half hour you take off another layer?
I don't think so. I suffer through it. I wear a button down most days. And so I've learned to kind of just acclimate to the room that I'm in. So,
and I'm learning not to like, you know, underestimate people on my show. You never know what you're actually going to get. So,
and just because prepare. This is video, it's important to like, let's understand what could happen.
Exactly. It's like, what exactly are the YouTube followers going to see? So anyway, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Yeah. So my name is James Laws. I am the CEO and president of SaturdayDrive.io. We have multiple products that we are currently offering. The most notably is Ninja Forms. Just recently, we acquired Caldera Forms, and their team has joined us. And so we offer Caldera Forms. We also have a transactional email service called SendWP. And we are dipping our toe in the waters of e-commerce with Ninja Shop.
This is the first I'm hearing about this. That's got to be exciting.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, it's been out for a little while, but we're still experimenting a little bit with what is our unique selling proposition and what is the right pricing model for us and what are the things that we want to actually be known for. So we're still kind of testing those waters a little bit, but we have some bandwidth to be able to explore that and not feel rushed. So it's nice.
That's fantastic. And I love options.
Yeah.
So when there's only one real option out there, or one big name option out there, you tend to feel like you're kind of being held hostage a little bit. Not that they're, you know, obviously, you know, WooCommerce is huge. We know WooCommerce is huge.
Absolutely.
But, you know, but I've used other things like Ecwid, I've used Shopify, I've used other things for different customers depending on what their needs are. So sometimes you don't need a huge cannon to sell one or two products. So if there's options out there in the marketplace, that's wonderful. So I'll have to get out there and experiment with it and see how it looks.
Yes, please do.
Yeah, I'm excited. So show me your mug. Everybody gets to show me their mug on this show.
So this is my mug. It says Bond Life. Bond Life stands for the good life.
The good life. I love it.
And kind of the important significance of this particular mug is right next door to this space, which is our kind of podcasting studio and co-working space. Next door is a coffee shop that Saturday Drive also owns. So we own a coffee roaster and local retail coffee space that is, you know, roasts award-winning coffee all over the country and even internationally. So, yeah.
I'm seeing an opportunity for you to sponsor my show, but we'll talk about that later.
I thought about that myself.
Well, I'll be showing you my mug. I only have so many mugs, so there are very few new mugs that I show, but I do have my Boston mug today.
Nice.
One of my coworkers here has, he's new to the WordPress scene. He just started back in March with us, and he had never really been part of WordPress before that. And now he is like whole hog. He's got his own blog. And whenever he goes places, he's thinking about me. He's looking to see what WordCamps are coming up, how I can use the hashtag. So I've completely, converted him to WordPress.
That's awesome.
So this is cool. This is from Jeff. He brought this back from his trip to Boston. And I'm drinking tea today. What are you drinking?
I am drinking what I drink almost every single day, which is a mocha.
Ah, that sounds good.
So, every time I order it, and I don't even order it anymore. Now when I just walk in, they just offer it to me and say, here's your adult hot chocolate.
Adult hot chocolate. I love it.
We have different opinions on what adult hot chocolate is. I would assume there'd be some whiskey in there, but no, that's what a mocha latte is to them. So
on Saturdays when I podcast, sometimes there's bourbon in my glass, but not today. Not today.
I love it. That's the best way to podcast, by the way.
Oh, you know, I mean, if it's not in the middle of the workday and I've got like other responsibilities, then I'm sticking with the tea and the coffee. But yeah, there's something to be said for having a little adult beverage.
Yeah, it gives you a little mellow. Yeah,
it does. It does. I'm thinking, ooh, that would taste good in coffee too. A little honey bourbon in my coffee. Not a bad idea. Mm-hmm. So tell us how you got started in WordPress.
You know, it's interesting. I was working for a fashion jewelry website called Chavon, and they did like cubic zirconia rings and necklaces and all kinds of jewelry, actually. And so I started working for them, and they had a need for just better reach for their website. And I was experimenting with different tools. And so I kind of stumbled upon WordPress at the time. And at the time I was just a designer. So I started playing around, and I say just a designer. I don't mean no disrespect to the designers out there. Meaning I didn't do any programming. I didn't write any code. If it wasn't HTML and CSS, I didn't really dabble in it much. And so I started getting involved in trying to find different tools that I could enhance the website with. And I stumbled upon WordPress and started finding that it was quite versatile and letting me do a lot of things. And so I started building out portions of their website using WordPress. And I think really never looked back.
It's funny how many of us use the word stumbled when we come into talking about how we, you know, stumbled into WordPress or happened into it. It's never like intentional in some respects. And then you find out, I think when I started with WordPress, it was like, wow, it's like 22% of the internet. And now we're over 33% of the internet. That's so insane. It is insane. And it's like, but it's fun to think I was an early adopter. So like I was in it before it was cool.
That's true. I never really thought about that. Like it hadn't quite hit its heyday yet. It wasn't super popular and we were already tinkering around with it.
Mm-hmm. When it was just a blogging platform, I'll use that word just for that because it hadn't really started to branch out into being a web presence other than the idea of how to use it for blogging. So
yeah, I think that's right. I think even when I picked it up, it was definitely promoted as a blogging tool. And I didn't need a blogging tool for this website, but I didn't see any reason why the same tools couldn't be used in different ways. And so I just started experimenting with that way. And then, of course, all of WordPress started to shift that way anyway, because I think most people were doing that. I mean, they had their blog, but they were all starting to kind of experiment and shift and pushing WordPress to its limits beyond just being a blog.
It was kind of like the IKEA hack of the website.
That's true.
It's like, we're going to take this blogging platform, we're going to turn it into something more. But the fact that posts and pages, I know pages, I don't know that a lot of people understand, beginner users especially, that pages are actually just custom post types.
Correct.
But that the way that post types work and that you can make custom post types is what's made it possible for Ninja Forms, for Give, for so many different, for WooCommerce, for, you know, your all of your new things that are going on. That's what makes it possible for us to do so many different wonderful things, is those custom post types make WordPress so flexible.
Yeah, I think there's a combination, right? There's the post types, there's, you know, you have actions and filters, and those little things that made Word, let you kind of interrupt the process and jump in the middle of something WordPress is doing and insert yourself, created an explosion of plugins. And so, yeah, I think the early architects owe themselves a pat on the back, even though they probably also get a lot of flack for legacy, like some of the like technical debt that's built into that. Mm-hmm. You know, WordPress wouldn't be what it is today if those things didn't exist.
And I've talked about this before, but like the move into the block editor using Gutenberg and all of that, you know, it's like so many people have like dug their heels in and they're coming dragging and, you know, kicking and screaming, we're dragging them into like the new world. And I understand that because, you know, early adopters into Gutenberg, there weren't the block built, you know, we didn't have Ninja Blocks yet. We didn't have Give Blocks. We didn't have all these different things you could do with it.
Right.
But the move into the blocks is decreasing the need for using those short codes.
Absolutely.
And so the ability to build your pages in a different way is pretty cool.
Yeah, we'll, and I think that's super important.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Because it's making life for plugin builders. It's making it more difficult in some respects because we still have to honor the legacy, right? Because so many people are still using legacy. But then we're also being able to really explore and do some pretty cool new stuff. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in a few minutes. I'm going to keep going on our questions. And then we're going to talk all things in your cadre of wonderful plugins. But what I want to ask you, and I ask everybody the same question, so these are no surprise, but what do you think is something that people don't pay enough attention to when they're building a website? Things that they might skip over. Sometimes it's in haste. You want to just get that thing built and get it out there. But sometimes it's just ignorance too, right? And I don't mean ignorance in a negative way. We don't know what we don't know. What do you think people could do to make sites stronger or better?
I mean, there's two things that, and I find myself also struggling with this, and it's becoming more and more important. One thing that is so easy to neglect because you want that next feature or you just want to add this new cool thing. And so performance is one of those things that you have to kind of always be watching. And I am 100% aware that I have built more Frankenstein sites that move slow and lethargic because of what I've done to them. And once you get to a certain point, it's hard to deconstruct that and fix it. And so without starting from scratch, and then you find yourself falling into the same problems again. Well, I need to add this and I need to add that. So I would say keeping an eye on performance, it's so important these days. I mean, search engines are ranking you based on whether your sites are efficient or not. So you can find yourself kind of slipping if you don't take care of performance. And the other one is just for proper, you know, inclusivity of getting everybody access is accessibility. Mm-hmm. and paying more attention to that. And it's another weak spot. I can readily admit, I don't know nearly enough, as much as I should know about accessibility to impress that upon even my own team and say, this is why it's important. Luckily, I have some great people on the team that are advocates of accessibility. And so we're always having those conversations, but I think it's still a place I could learn and keep an eye on as well.
Yeah. And you're not alone in that. There's a lot of people that, and I, even sites that I'm building or having built for things like WP Coffee Talk, you know, I have for whom accessibility, that's their thing. And so I give them a login. I'm like, you know, lay it on me. Tell me what I can fix. Tell me, fix what you can. I'll gladly pay you to do it, but I want this to be as accessible as possible to people. Yep. And my next step is to actually have every one of these YouTube videos also have closed captioning on them. That just takes so long. So that's one of the things I'm looking for sponsorship for, so that I can pay people, because I believe in honoring people's work, to make sure that these get transcribed, because I want everybody to be able to hear or see or read what it is that we're talking about every episode. So
I'm just curious, have you ever just let it auto transcribe and seen what the quality is like? Because on shorter videos, I find it to be actually pretty darn good, but never tried it on a longer video.
So the very first one, the very first episode of WP Coffee Talk with Ali Nimmons, I did that. So I let it, what I usually do is, and I have some women that are volunteers, God bless them, who are, you know, I promised to pay them when I have money to pay them, and they are really amazing people, are working on some transcriptions for me, or the closed captioning for me. So I let it do its thing and then go through and edit it, which actually is a lot faster than if you're trying to do it from scratch. One of the things is sometimes it doesn't understand things that are technical terms, like
sure,
WordCamp. Often comes out as work
That's
camp.
Super technical term.
Yeah. But I mean, I should say industry terms, right?
Yeah, so like, no, I get
but
you.
But it's like, they are word camps, and we do work at them. They are work camps, but it makes it sound like the CCP is, or whatever camps are, where they're going to come in. You know, we're going to have an Army Corps of Engineers doing something or something.
That's like right. That. That's right.
But yeah, so I do a little bit of that, but then we do a lot of editing as well. And I've learned not to talk over my guests as often, which makes it a whole lot easier for transcribing as well.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
As a new podcaster, I'm figuring it out as I go.
I, as one who podcasts fairly regularly and has been a guest on a number of podcasts, I still struggle with it. So I don't know that you do your best, right?
Exactly. When you're literally sitting in the same room talking to somebody, you do talk over each other. That's how regular conversation works. Not the same on a podcast.
No, that's fair.
So when you think back to those early days of using WordPress, what's something that you've learned through the process that you wish you'd known early on that might have made your career trajectory a little bit easier?
You know, I think in the early stages, I wasn't aware of the community. And so I know that sounds strange to those of us who are in the community. Like, we're like, it's so generous and everyone's willing to help anyone. But when I started, I just thought WordPress was a piece of software. Like that was the extent of it. I didn't realize that it literally was a global movement that was like, that had this like really rich and robust community. And so I think if I would have known that going into it a little earlier, I might have, my trajectory might have been a little faster as I adapted into WordPress. And I might not have, although now that I say that, I might not have had the business that I have today, because there would have been not as many reasons to build products that I have built, because there were already major players in that space. And so maybe it's hard to look back and second guess what you might have done, but maybe I wouldn't have gone into that because I would have just used the tool instead of building my own.
There you go. So that's very true. So knowing the community is there is amazing. Yeah. I love teaching people about the community when I talk to people about WordPress, and every meetup that we have, people are like, wow, I saw this on my dashboard. I didn't even know about it. And it's like, that's exciting too. So yeah, so that I agree, but you're right. You never know, and it's better not to second guess.
It's true.
Now, when you think back over the different meetups you've been to, the different WordCamps you've attended, is there a moment or two that really rise up to you as like a pivotal moment, inspirational moment, whether it was as an attendee or for giving a talk or anything?
That's hard. I mean, because I find every WordCamp I've been to be a really moving experience, because I meet new people all the time and I learn new things all the time. And so it's hard to pick out one in particular. I will say there was a talk that my business partner Kevin and I did at a WordCamp Nashville. And the reason I thought of it as being such an interesting talk, the talk was called Entrepreneurs and Engineers, managing the tensions between opposites. because engineers and entrepreneurs think about solving problems in different ways, and there is tension. And my partner was an engineer and I was an entrepreneur, and now he has become an entrepreneur and I can talk engineer. And we've bridged that gap. And so we did this talk that was just a collaborative talk between the two of us. And in some ways it felt more just like a comedy show where we picked on each other, had some fun, talked about arguments that we've had and how we got to resolution. And I think those in attendance really enjoyed it. And there wasn't a lot of preparation involved. We just got up there and were us. And that was a really fun experience. And I had a lot of meaningful conversations that were brought out of that because of engineers or entrepreneurs who had a counterpart that they were like, I'm struggling with these same things. This was so helpful to kind of learn how to talk engineer talk or how to talk entrepreneur talk and give each other what they need to understand how we both move forward. So I think that was probably a really big one. But man, there's too many to count and too many to mention. It's just like I've met so many great people and made so many great friends that picking anyone out would almost feel like a disservice to all the others.
Isn't it fun when you go to a WordCamp even years later and somebody walks up to you and says, I remember you when you gave that talk about, and they like reiterate back to you some you know, poignant things that they took away with them, and you're like, damn, I'm pretty good.
It is nice. It is nice. It helps because, you know, we all deal with insecurity. And so none of us get up to do a talk. Well, maybe some of us do, but most of us probably don't get up to do a talk and think like, I'm all that. And then when we walk away, think nailed it. Like, you know, and so getting that feedback is super important and super helpful. One other instance that was actually interesting is I was at just this past WordCamp Atlanta. I was there and I was having a conversation with somebody who I knew and I've talked to kind of repeatedly, but I didn't put it together that it was somebody that I met at WordCamp Savannah many, many years ago. It was the very first WordCamp I had ever gone to, and it was the first and only WordCamp Savannah. And so I went to this WordCamp, and I remember sitting in a talk listening to Andrew Nason or Mark Jaquith, I don't remember which, was doing a presentation and talking to this guy who had an agency. And he was talking, we were brand new and just trying to learn about the community and kind of plug in. And he had this agency. And then he came back to me this time years ago and says, oh, I always love listening to you. I always love talking to you. I remember you, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, this first time, and when it all connected, that it was so long ago and that he had remembered that interaction and it was an important interaction and has continued to be a relationship that we follow of each other. And then knowing that that was us, you know, the both of us at that one time, but didn't quite put it all together. It's interesting. And that was meaningful to me too, that says, you know, you can't discount even the small interactions at a WordCamp, just sitting next to somebody during a talk and then a casual conversation and how that can create a relationship that years and years later you come back to and remember fondly. So, yeah.
And it's also amazing. You just made me think of too, the opportunities for growth within the industry just through those kinds of conversations. You know, I work at Give because I walked up to a table and it said, hey, I use your product. You know, and by the end of the weekend, when I told them, you know, the site I was doing, and they interviewed me for their blog, and, you know, by 4 months later, I was hired because it just laid that kind of groundwork. So yeah. You just never know. And it's pretty cool stuff for sure.
That's absolutely awesome.
So I was very excited to hear about your acquisition of Caldera Forms.
Yeah.
As I said to you off the show earlier, that Josh Pollack is a friend of mine, and he was on the show already. I think we just published his episode maybe 2 weeks ago. He's very excited about working with you guys. He says, you know, it was fun, but I really just want to be a developer. So he gets to do that now, which is fantastic. But what I saw through Twitter, through the whole thing, was why does Ninja Forms need another Forms plugin? And I've seen some of the the explanations of those kinds of things. So tell us, you know, what are your plans? Or I mean, you don't have to reveal, you know, trade secret, but why would you? I mean, is like Gravity Forms next? Are you guys gonna like bring in Contact Form 7? I mean, you know.
Well, if Carl Hancock ever wants to sell Gravity Forms to us, I'm willing to have that conversation. But my guess is I can't afford it. But no, I think, you know, a lot of people have posed that question to us, and there's a couple of answers to it. First of all, we're not the only ones in the space who've done it. Right. You know, Awesome Motive, Syed Balki, who is an amazing individual and, you know, it's probably smarter than I will ever be. You know, he developed WP Forms, built that out, and now is a partner in Formidable Forms and owns a stake in that. So, I don't think it's that bizarre. The right. second side of it is they serve very different, markets. So Ninja Forms over the years has been pivoting towards a user-centric, not the tinkerer, not the person who wants to get under the hood, write code, and modify how it functions at its core. It's more for people who like the settings that it offers and the capabilities that it gives me, and that's what I'm going to use it for. And so through that transition, we certainly have isolated ourselves a little bit from the developer, agency, freelance community who might need to do more specific things with their projects that don't fit into that, that box. But Caldera has always been that tool. Caldera has always been the tool for tinkerers. It's Josh has always had such his foot and his hand, kind of the pulse of WordPress and engineering and being able to take a project further. He's did a brilliant job with that, and we think we can actually continue that. And it gives us a place to say to people who are struggling with Ninja Forms because of its opinions, honestly, strict opinions, to say, if you want to break out of that mold, there's a different product that's for you. In fact, we've kind of already done that. We've always referred people to other form builders anyway, if we weren't the right one, but now it stays in the family. So we can be like, hey, go over here. This is exactly what you want. And that's the product that we're building for that purpose. So I think in that way, it gives us a little bit of a way to kind of move to stay in the same market, but take a different piece of the pie and work on something that benefits them. And it basically says, hey, I know we went this way, but we haven't forgotten you. Instead, we've strategically partnered with this other project to make it happen. So
I love that. Well, the first form I ever bought into was Gravity Forms.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and it works really well for what it works for, but I needed to build a calculator of sorts onto a website for a real estate. It's like, if you join our team, how much more will you make here than you would where you were working before? So it had to have a series of inputs. It had to be able to do calculations. And at the bottom, you're not filling out a form to like submit something. You're filling out a form, and at the bottom, you're going to get a total of how much more you'd make. And I am one of those people that says, I can do anything. Yes, I'll take that job and then figure out how to do it afterwards. And I was just about to tears because the customer was like, I need it. And I was like, I don't know how to do it. Right? And I said to somebody, a friend of mine who's like, you know, more advanced in the WordPress space than I am. And I said, how do I do this? I am completely lost now. He says, check out Caldera Forms. So I downloaded the free version. I was able to do everything I needed to. And like literally within half an hour, I had this form built out. My customer was like, so excited. But you're right. It took a little know-how. You have to kind of get under the hood. You have to understand how conditional logic and those kinds of things work. And so, but it was perfect. It was perfect for what
that's
I needed.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm glad. And those are the stories I love to hear. And the truth is like, right, I think in this situation, like no form builder is going to probably solve any one person, everybody's needs, right? There's always going to be this kind of niche or this particular market that has very specific needs. And it would almost be against their core principles for them to try to build that in and support it. Plus, I mean, when the mass majority of your customers don't want that, it kind of distracts you from what's important for the product. And so by having two products that have very distinct focuses, neither has to be distracted. They can both push forward.
I think that's wonderful. So let's talk a little bit then about what you're going to do with this e-commerce plugin, because there's certainly enough space in the WordPress space and the WordPress ecosystem to have something other than, you know, the big guy in the room. So tell us a little bit about how it's going to, if you, I know you're still developing, you're still working on it, but what makes it different?
Well, we've been playing around with a lot of different ideas. When we originally started the product, it was originally called iThemes Exchange. So anybody who's familiar, and if you've been in the community for any time at all, you know iThemes. Mm-hmm. And iThemes Exchange was a plugin that was an e-commerce plugin that they had built to kind of fit that need, but they really focused on ease of use and setup. So that it wasn't a whole, like it, you just didn't get bogged down by a bunch of settings. You only had the settings you needed. And if you wanted new settings, you could turn them on, but otherwise they were hidden away and they didn't bother you. And it was a really neat tool. And we always really loved the tool. And when iThemes was acquired by Liquid Web, even a little bit before that, they had decided to shut down iThemes Exchange. It just wasn't something they were going to continue to maintain. They handed it off to someone else and it became, if I remember correctly, this Exchange WP, another e-commerce solution. And they tried to develop that for a little bit further and push that. But in the end, it was one person and it's a big project with a lot of add-ons and a complicated core development process. And so to maintain that for just a single person to run the business and to try to be doing that on the side, just like I'm just going to do this on the side, it was just too much. And so they finally decided they couldn't do it. And so then it came, so then we decided to step in because we really loved the product and hated to see it just die away. Of course, we rebranded it because we wanted to try to give it a little bit of initial, you know, additional lift with the name cred that we had built already with Ninja Forms, because we knew that one of the things we were going to hear a lot of was, you know, there's WooCommerce, like how are you going to compete against WooCommerce? And when we came into the space with Ninja Forms, people were saying the same thing. How are you going to compete with Gravity Forms? What's the point? But we did. And I don't have any illusion that Gravity Forms isn't still a dominant player in the space, but we held our own and became synonymous with form building right along with Gravity Forms and other large form builders like that. So we thought, if we did it with forms, can we do it with e-commerce? We certainly had some hubris of ourselves to say we could do it. So let's go ahead and try it out. We hired someone to focus on it exclusively, Matt Pritchett, who is a tremendous engineer, and he moved his family up to live in Cleveland, Tennessee with us, and he became in office, which is another whole topic because now we are remote, but he moved up here and started focusing on it. So we're working with him and letting him kind of manage that project. We have determined that some of the direction that we have been going with it, which is still basically just what Exchange always was, which is a lot of features, selling physical, digital memberships. And I think we're going to rein it back a little bit, focus on one key component and start fresh and see if we can build it that way. But we're going to give it a try. I think we're giving it, we're going to give it another several months to kind of push into it and see what we can do with it. But yeah.
That's awesome. Well, I teach classes here in Rochester on WordPress and things like that. Would it be a good solution to be able to put like a class schedule together and sell coursework?
I don't see why not. I mean, there are certainly better learning management systems when you want.
This isn't in person though. This is in person.
Yeah. But if it's selling basically a ticket to an event, so to speak, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you could absolutely do that. It has what you would call a digital product that you can attach anything to it, a syllabus and whatever. And yeah, I mean, I think there's probably some ways. Of course, Matt could answer that question a little bit better than you because he spends every day in the product and I spend no days in the product. So
well, I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Please do. I'll check it out, yeah. So you've challenged the form industry, WordPress form industry. Now you are challenging the e-commerce industry. So when are you taking on Yoast?
Never.
Oh, there you go.
Never. I am, I don't actually think of it like, and I know you didn't mean that in that way. I never look at it like we're taking on someone. Again, the kind of the funny thing we talked a little bit about, like in the beginning, like what would be different if, I didn't know about the community. And one of the things is we might not have built Ninja Forms. I mean, if I knew Gravity Forms was a solution, I probably wouldn't have built it for that client, you know, as my own solution, and then thought, I wonder if anyone else would use this. Yeah. And then I launched it out and everyone is like, you know, there's Gravity Forms. You should just quit. I'm like, oh, really? I had no idea.
I had to tease you a little bit because you used one of my favorite words, which was hubris. So
that's okay. There's a little bit of it, but no SEO, man. No, but nobody knows the SEO like Yoast. And so it's, I don't think there's a, I'm not willing to try that. I have a lot of respect for that team. They do some amazing things.
Absolutely. There are so many amazing people in the WordPress system that are just doing some amazing work out there. Absolutely. And props to all of them. Mm-hmm. Of course.
Absolutely.
I want to ask you, I want to move into my rapid fire questions because I want to honor your time today as well. When you think of somebody, like you're talking to somebody who might be building their first website or building their own website for a business, what are two or three plugins that you would say they really should consider using?
You know, it's funny because my tools have changed over the years as I kind of think through, you know, what I use. And a lot of times what you'll hear is, well, everybody needs, you know, a good SEO plugin like Yoast SEO, and everybody might need a good analytics plugin for, you know, to connect to Google Analytics or whatever that. But they're usually, it's usually the smaller utility plugins that I find kind of interesting. So I one plugin that I use almost on every website I build is called IfMenu. And it's just a visibility control for menu items. And a lot of times I use it for restricting based on a person's role. So if you're, or if you're logged in and you're not logged in, I can offer different experience for you and different navigation.
Oh, okay.
So IfMenu is one that I use a lot and literally on every single site. It's a very important one for us. And then beyond that, man, there is a lot of like little utility plugins that we use. I'm actually looking through one of our sites and all of our plugins. And I'm one of those people who has like excessive amounts of plugins running.
But they're all up to date. They're all up to date though, right?
Oh yeah. Okay. Not every one of them.
They probably just updated this morning though. So we're going to cut you
That's
some
true.
Stuff.
Thanks. I appreciate that. So I mean, there's a lot of tools like that I use. I think, I'm always interested in looking at ways of creating unique experiences for users as they're visiting the site. And so anything I can do to modify the experience based on the type of user they are. So there's some services out there like Write Message is a great one for that, where you can kind of say, I know exactly who you are, and so I'm going to give you this website experience. Those are some of the cooler tools that I'm kind of into right now. I would say like IfMenu is a big one. And then of course, you know, Caldera Forms or Ninja Forms. I mean, come on.
Absolutely.
Why do you not want to have a huge form? I mean, I use forms for everything. Like I can't, every time I need to solve a problem, it's like, can I do it with a form?
Absolutely. Do you use User Switcher at all?
I do. That's another one. That's another one of those utility plugins I use a lot, especially for support. Like if somebody's having problems with accounts or they're seeing something that's weird, it's just easier to log in, switch to their user and go, oh, okay, that's exactly what you're seeing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because sometimes it's easy to doubt, right? I say, I know what it should look like. I'm sure they're not seeing it right. I switch over to them and I'm like, well, I'll be. That's exactly what they're seeing.
I've never seen that before.
And now how do I fix it? But yes, User Switcher, I think, is another one of those great utility plugins. At any point in your WordPress journey, whether it was an official mentorship or just somebody that you looked up to or took you under their wing, did you have a mentor at all? And who was it?
Oh, man. All right. I'm just going to have to talk about a lot of different people because I've not had any official mentors, but I have so many people who have spoken to my life and offered suggestions or just offered a hand of friendship. I remember when before multi-site came into WordPress, before it was officially, and it was just MU, like you had WordPress MU, and it was this whole separate beast of a thing that you would play with. I was playing around with a lot and I was really enjoying it. And I would go into the MU forums and ask questions. And I got into some really great conversations with people like Andrea and Mika, who were in there all the time answering questions, and they were so helpful. They made me feel like I was an MU rock star when I got done with it. Like I felt like I could do more than most. And so they were really important to that initial stage. And I remember I used to jump into the MU forums regularly and answer questions just because of how meaningful it was, how they helped me. So I would try to return the favor and kind of get in there and answer questions. So I did a lot of that in the early days. Beyond that, I would say Corey Miller, he's built iThemes and, you know, he sold it to Liquid Web. He's now working on some other projects. He has always been, you know, you have all these kind of mentors from afar, and he's not been super far. We're friends. We talk occasionally, not as often as I would like to talk. But that's probably on me, not on him. He has just always been super generous to extend a hand and just kind of call me into the fold and make me feel bigger than I really am. Kareem, he runs Crowd Favorite. He's such a genuinely positive and nice person. And whenever I walk by him, he could be in this like really important conversation where they're trying to get him for something who doesn't want somebody like him to be on their podcast or in their magazine or whatever, and he'll pull me into the conversation and start building me up and telling them why I'm the person they need to be talking to. And I'm like, and I don't even know how to react. I think usually I foil all of his plans because I'm like, you shouldn't talk about me like that. But again, just such a generous, generous soul. There's just so many of them. Chris Lemma is another one who has always been kind to me, and I interact with him regularly, and I learn from him from afar all the time, more than he probably realizes. For all of them, I learn from them more than probably I express.
And one of the things, I don't know all of those people personally, but one of the things that you, a common thread that I see among the people that you mentioned is they also value family. They value mental health, and they speak out about those things as well.
Absolutely.
About having that balance, especially for people like yourself who are so entrenched in the community, to be able to say, sometimes you have to step back from it and make sure that the rest of your life is as meaningful.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny. They've actually, so talking about mental health, they are the inspiration for why probably a few months ago, I finally got myself into a relationship with a therapist. Mm-hmm. And so they are part of the reason they've kind of made me think about, like, that would be good for me, whether I'm chasing an issue or not chasing an issue, right? Like, just to have someone to talk to and work on me and how I feel and what I'm feeling and the things that I don't know that I'm feeling and how do I bring those to the surface and address them. It's been very meaningful for me. So again, they've changed me in more ways than they know.
They were the impetus behind I gave the keynote this year at WordCamp Kent. And I talked about the care and feeding of the WordPress community, me, you, and us, in that particular order, because we have to take care of ourselves and then each other and then the community as a whole. So yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Good people, really good people.
Absolutely.
Other than those people, so I'm going to put you on the spot and say, take them out of the mix for a minute.
All right.
Is there somebody else in the WordPress community that you admire and why?
Sure. I mean, there's plenty, but I'm going to be maybe slightly self-serving, and I'm going to say Josh Pollack. The reason I say Josh Pollack is, first of all, he was an acquaintance first, a competitor second, a friend third, and now an associate and a teammate that we work alongside. And through that process, through that entire arc of our relationship and knowing each other, I have constantly watched him want to grow and want to help others grow. And he has always made himself available. He is a learner. He loves to learn, but he loves to teach. He does it well. He's articulate. He writes very technical things and can explain them in very plain words. And I've just always had a lot of respect for him. He's a machine. He can, I sometimes wondered if he ever sleeps, because he would just produce new things and he'd always be shipping something, even if it was a side project or I did this or I learned how to do that. Mm-hmm. And I just like, I don't even know how you function in life to do that. I can't do that. So he's somebody I've always had a great deal of respect, and why it's an honor to have him on the team and be able to have him work with us.
He is definitely one of the genuine people that you'll meet. I gave him a copy of my book last year, and I think he was probably the first person that actually read it cover to cover and then thanked me for some of the insights in it, because they helped him with this, that, or the other, you know? And so I was just in awe of the fact that it wasn't just that, oh, thank you, and got put on the shelf, but that he actually read the whole thing. And that's awesome. That just speaks to his, you know, how genuine a person he is. Absolutely. Yep. What's something you'd like to learn in WordPress that you haven't yet tackled?
Huh. That's a good question. It's hard. This is a hard question to answer. And the reason why, and some of this makes me a little sad, as the business has grown, more people take on the tasks that I would otherwise have had to take on and learn, and new tasks that nobody else can manage have cropped up, and I have to deal with those things, which has pulled me out of WordPress more than I prefer. And so it's hard to think about, like, what is there out there now that I don't know? I think certainly I'm not a developer. I can talk engineering speak to enough where people will wonder if I'm a developer, but I'm not in any way, shape, or form a developer. I can write enough code to bring down a website, and which is kind of a joke around the office. Like, they need to put some sort of deployment process to protect our websites from me, because I am like, literally write code and push it right to the live server. I have no problem with that. And that's just my style, and they everyone hates it. And I know it's wrong, but I'm never so and so unless somebody makes me change, I'm never gonna change.
There you go.
I'd love to learn how to create some blocks. I think that's probably a thing I would really love to learn how to do. I think since WordPress is going that way, and I do still internally, like our intranet and stuff like that, I still write code for it when I want to solve a problem that will help the team. I'll get in there and write some code myself, because I can't pull people off of products to do it. So I just dig in and do it. So it'd be nice to be able to learn how to write some blocks so that I can enhance my skill, since eventually that's all WordPress is going to be. So
one of the things I like about that question is it really is the great equalizer, right? So I could be talking to a CEO, or I could be talking to somebody who's been in the WordPress community for 3 months, and we all have done something, and almost all of the time it comes back to how much we can kill websites without trying very hard.
It's amazing.
Yeah, so are you even a WordPress designer or developer if you haven't seen a white screen at least once, right?
That's right. I have seen it during high traffic times on ninjaforms.com when people are trying to check out. That's how hardcore I am.
There you go. I love it. You're just like full force ahead. I love it. So the flip side of that is, what's your proudest WordPress moment?
My proudest WordPress moment. I feel like I'm sitting in my therapist's office, and he's asking me those tough introspective questions about myself. My insecurity doesn't know how to answer those questions.
You can cancel your appointment this week. Tell him it's all said.
It's like last session, like one session, he said, name 10 things you like about yourself. And I'm like, I don't know. So let me see. My proudest WordPress moment. Man, you know, I'm gonna have to call complete and total honesty. I don't know.
Is it like seeing Ninja Forms in the repository? Was that one of them, perhaps?
All right. If we're gonna go that route, I would say maybe my proudest moment is when we hit 1 million active installs. I mean, that was a big accomplishment, and it was a statement to all the people who said a few years earlier you couldn't do it. And And it made me feel good. I mean, certainly things like that have made me feel good. So yeah, I would say that maybe my biggest, this is my vanity.
Like, go for it.
I don't spend a lot of money when I fly because I don't like to just waste money. But I remember when we just started the business and it was Pressnom. It was our first year going to Pressnomics. It was the second Pressnomics. So we never went to the first one, but it was the second Pressnomics. I remember I bought tickets for me and my partner. And because it was such a big deal for us, this sounds weird, but to me, this was important. I bought us first class tickets to fly to Phoenix. And that was like this proud moment of, I can do this. I could afford this. And now that I know that I can afford it, I should stop doing it.
That's awesome. I love it. That's great. That's good. I like that one a lot. If you weren't working in the web space at all, so take like, you know, digital, all of that off, just in a completely different career, what's something that you might like to attempt?
Well, you know, in my past, before I got into web work, I actually pastored a church for several years and have been in ministry for a good majority of my life. And I do remember some of my favorite times is being able to, every Sunday morning, being able to share and teach. And that's something I love to do. I love getting a crowd of people together and being able to share what I've learned or even what I have not learned and just explore that idea with people. So mm-hmm. I'd probably want to do something like that, I think.
Yeah. That's awesome. We were just talking not too long ago, at impress.org. So that's Give and WP Business Reviews. There are, I think, four of us out of 18 in the States, or maybe it's a little more now, we just hired some more people, but who actually have religion as our undergrad degrees. So mine is in religion and philosophy. You know, I've married people, I've preached in churches too. And so it's interesting how many people you run across that's like, and we're all in WordPress now.
It is interesting every time I come across somebody. And actually, that was the funny thing about when I met Corey Miller. We were having a conversation. I was like, I feel like I know you from somewhere. And I went back into kind of the archives of the web doing some searches, and I found some ministry stuff that he was a part of that he had. And I was like, there it is. I knew you from ministry. Like, that was way back when. And so interesting how, when you find that.
And you must know who Matt Cromwell is too. And Matt Cromwell has, Matt and I both talk about the fact that we have a similar background, and Ben Meredith as well. So it's just kind of interesting to have that common bond as well within,
absolutely,
within WordPress. So that's pretty cool stuff. What's something on your bucket list?
All right. So these, I know, so because your questions, like you said, you kind of ask the same questions of every person. I know this question and the next question, they're related.
Okay. Okay.
So I'm going to do them in reverse.
Okay. That's fine.
Okay. I'm going to break out of your mold.
That's good. It's all good. So the next question, just in case somebody's listening to this for the first time, is show us or tell us about something on your, that is a hidden talent that people might not know. Okay.
So one of the things I do is I collect playing cards. Okay. I've been doing it for a while. I probably have somewhere in the vicinity of 450 decks of playing cards, and I decorate my office at home. They're like little packets of art, and it's just really cool. And the reason I collect playing cards is because I've been a fan of close-up magic pretty much my whole life. So I've always wanted to do something with magic. I dabble a little bit. I practice a lot, but I don't show anyone anything because I'm too insecure for that. So I spend a lot of time. I have a lot of books. I've learned a lot of things. In fact, next week, I don't know when this will air. So, but a week from the recording of this, next week, I am driving to Tupelo, Mississippi, to go to a magic convention with a group that I'm involved in, where we will be learning and studying and sharing. So that's my little known kind of secret talent that I have with. And my bucket list is I would like to someday actually perform and do actual like scheduled performances. I think that'd be fun.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So that's something I kind of would love to do. I don't know if I'll ever get over the insecurity and the fear of doing that, but I'm seeing a therapist, so maybe he'll help me get through that.
So bring at least one deck of cards to WordCamp US. We'll sit together at lunch and you can dazzle me. How's that sound?
I will see if I can keep the fear factor down and be bold to share something with you.
I understand. I have fears about certain things myself. I don't know if you know Mike Demopoulos, Mike Demo from Bold Grid, but he's into magic and cards and close-up magic as well. And he actually did a little card trick with me on his episode. So you'll have to go back and take a look at that one and see what you think of his card trick. So
it was absolutely cute.
So tell us how people can find you. So where are you online? What's your websites for your businesses? Just kind of lay it out there for us. And of course, we're going to put this online as well, so people will be able to click through.
Sure. I mean, the best place to get a hold of me is on Twitter at James Laws. That's probably the place that I kind of check out the most. I have a blog, jameslaws.com. I don't write as often as I don't think I've written in a year because I've been too busy. Our corporate website is saturdaydrive.io. We have ninjaforms.com, sendwp.com, getninjashop.com, and of course now calderaforms.com.
That's a lot of websites, yes.
And bondlifecoffee.com.
Oh, very good. Exactly. you're going to have to send me some. I'll have to order it online. It sounds really good. I have a blog that I haven't talked about too much on here called thedailybedhead.com.
Okay.
And if you were to pull that up right now, you would see pictures of me as my hair has been styled overnight by my pillow. And
I love that concept.
So it doesn't get any more real than Bedhead. You're pulling it up right now, aren't you?
And I'm about to, actually.
It all started because I took a picture of my hair one morning and it looked like I should have been in a flock of seagulls. I posted it on Facebook and I said, does this hairstyle mean I could be in flock of seagulls? And so many people commented under that, you're so brave. You're so brave. I'm like, it's hair. There's nothing brave about it, you know? If I was a firefighter running into a building, tell me I'm brave, you know? If I'm like rappelling down the side of a mountain to rescue a child, tell me I'm brave. I posted a silly picture online. That's not brave. But it's real, right? So it's real. And so every one of those pictures, if you click on it, you get some musings about my life. But I don't blog as often as I'd like to either because, again, time. And I'm putting a lot more time into, I had no idea how long it takes to process every episode that I record.
And I'm with you. You've got the right idea too, because you're trying to edit as little as possible. And so I have a podcast called AIB, called Adventures in Businessing, AIB.fm. And we're getting ready to start one on Saturday Drive called, I get this wrong. We're supposed to say it like this, Drive? Is the name of the podcast. So Drive is a question. As we're doing it, I don't like to edit either. So it's like, I'm like, if you misspeak, it's going in it. There is no post-production. Post-production is me publishing it.
Exactly. But I still have to put together the episode. I have to upload it to YouTube. I have to upload it to Anchor. I've got it. All these other things. So I put my little, you know, I do have a sponsor that I have on the air. So I have to marry those things. And yeah, it is a lot of work. So I'm not blogging as much as I'd like to, but it is something that I do every once in a while when I have an interesting thought that if nobody else cares, at least I will have it for posterity.
That's nice. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Well, James, it's been amazing. Thank you so much for being here with me today. I look forward to meeting you and shaking your hand at WordCamp US this year. I'm on the organizing team. So that's going to be fun to be there for that too.
Very cool. Yes, I can't wait to meet you in person. It'll be great.
Yes, likewise. And I'm going to check out your ninja shop too and then see if I can't get that working on my other website. So thank you so much. It's been wonderful and I really appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been fun.
My pleasure. All right. We'll see everybody later. Until the next episode. Bye.